What happens when a nation falls in love with its own power and forgets who really owns the river, the land, and all the glory? Ezekiel chapter 29 shows God humbling Egypt, not just for Pharaoh's pride, but because Israel trusted the wrong protector. Today, our own nation is tempted to say, "This is ours, we built it," instead of, "God, you gave it." As you listen, ask yourself, are we repeating Egypt's mistake or learning to bow before the Lord of all nations? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Today is Old Testament Tuesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week because we get to go back to the Old Testament, to our roots as Christians and as having the Abrahamic covenant and looking at Israel and all the great stuff that's happening. And we get to go back there and once again, check it out. It lays that foundation that we need to move things forward. So if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Finally, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much. You are helping us lay a firm foundation for an organization that's going to fight for your values, for your family in the state of Washington. If you're not yet a financial partner, I want to encourage you, jump on in at $10, $20, $30, whatever it is a month, $100 a month. We really do need that financial foundation laid so that we can keep doing programs like this, our prayer tours, and all the other things that we're going to be doing. All right, so we are in Ezekiel chapter 29. And as you know, most of this reading right now is it's just reading with very little commentary. I will say this. There's a lot of things going on in the public square about the role of Israel in the world today. And Ezekiel, the entire book, corrects a lot of the misnomers that are out there. First off, God has a nation, it's Israel. God has a church, it's a bride, it's his church. And God is sovereign. He gets to have a nation and a bride because he's God. All right, so Ezekiel chapter 29, Egypt. In the 10th year, in the 10th month of the 12th of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God." So Ezekiel, we know that the Israelites have been taken into Babylon for their disobedience, and God is now coming back and punishing these different nations because of they were gloating over Israel's disobedience. They came against Israel when they weren't supposed to. There's a variety of reasons, but he's coming back and he's punishing them. So here's Egypt. "Behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great monster that lies in the midst of his river, that he has said, 'My Nile is mine, and I myself have made it.'" Notice a pattern here. Tyre said he was God. Pharaoh said that he owned a river that he did not own. "I will put hooks in your jaws, and I will make the fish of your rivers cling to your scales. I will bring you up out of the midst of your rivers, and all the fish of your rivers will cling to your scales. I will abandon you to the wilderness, you and all the fish of your river, and you will fall on the open field. You will not be brought together or gathered. I have given you for food to the beasts of the earth and to the birds of the sky. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt will know that I am the Lord, because they have been only a staff made of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore all their hands. And when they leaned on you, you broke and made all their loins quake. All right, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon you a sword, and I will cut off you from you man and beast. The land of Egypt will become a desolation and waste. Then they will know that I am the Lord." So when you look at Egypt today, and if you see any desolation or waste, it is so that you will know that God is the Lord, that I am the Lord, he says. "Because you said, 'The Nile is mine, I have made it.'" So you took credit. Look at this. They took credit for God's creation, saying it was theirs. He says, "I'm doing this for this reason. Therefore, behold, I am against you and against your river, and I will make the land of Egypt an utter waste and desolation from Migdol to Syene and even to the border of Ethiopia. A man's foot will not pass through it, and the foot of a beast will not pass through it, and it will not be inhabited for 40 years. So I will make the land of Egypt a desolation in the midst of the desolated lands, and her cities in the midst of the cities that are laid waste will be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the lands. For thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the peoples among whom they were scattered. I will turn the fortunes of Egypt and make them return to the land of Pathro, to the land of the origin, and there they will be a lowly kingdom. So according to this, Egypt should be a lowly kingdom, okay? It will be the lowest of the kingdoms, and it will never again lift itself above the nations. I wonder where Egypt is on GDP. I wonder where Egypt is on all the things. Is it one of the lowest? And I will make them so small that they will not rule over the nations. Is that true today? I mean, is Egypt not ruling over the nations? And it will never again be the confidence of the house of Israel. Is Egypt the confidence of the house of Israel right now? No. Bringing to mind the iniquity of their having turned to Egypt, then they will know that I am the Lord your God. So the very fact that Egypt right now looks like this thing behind me, you know, with some cities that are, you know, populated and things, but they don't rule over the nations like they once did. And it's because Israel had turned to Egypt for help when they weren't supposed to. Now, in the 26th year, in the first month of the first of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made his army labor hard against Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder was rubbed bare, but he and his army had no wages from Tyre for the labor that he had performed against it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will carry off her wealth and capture her spoil and seize her plunder, and it will be wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, which he performed because they acted for me, declares the Lord. On that day, I will make a horn sprout for the house of Israel, and I will open your mouth in the midst. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So if you were to look at a repeated phrase throughout this chapter, and quite frankly, a lot of the book of Ezekiel, then they will know that I am the Lord. Is it possible and is it probable that the nations dealing with Israel is a living testimony so that the nations will know that God is God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Is that possible and is it probable? And how we deal with Israel and how we interact with Israel and how we bless Israel is very important because it shows a testimony of Almighty God. Now think about this. Egypt is being, in essence, disciplined by Nebuchadnezzar because Israel turned to them when they weren't supposed to. And that was number two, actually. And number one was they claimed the Nile to be their own river that they created. So, I don't know. I just read the scriptures to you. You figure it out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day and let us learn from Egypt. God, let us turn to you and know that you are the Lord our God. Go before us in all things, surround us in all things, make a way in us and through us in all things. King of kings, Lord of lords, God Almighty, we declare you are Lord. We ask that for forgiveness for the United States, for every aspect that we have tried to say that it was our creation, our own ability, our river, our land, our whatever. God, you gave us this land. You gave us this area. Let us learn from Egypt, God, how to be humble, how to walk after you, and know that you are the Lord our God. We thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard